Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, tomorrow morning, what's today, Wednesday? Tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, because we're going to do an abbreviated It's My House training topics, anything you guys might want to talk to, but today. But tomorrow, and we'll be on 9 consecutive years next month on the 24th, Christmas Eve. But tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m., okay, we're going to play Claude Anderson's Start Today as we always do. And then we're going to go straight into the interview. Tomorrow we have representatives from the Freedom Georgia Initiative. Now, if you don't know what the Freedom Initiative is about, long story short, two African-American women, ran across a piece of land in the state of Georgia and said, you know what? We can pick up this piece of land. And it was like something like 96.71 acres. Well, this was rounded up to 97 acres. And we can pick this up if we, you know, practice some cooperative economics. So they agreed that, now this is just two women, that you go speak to 10 of your friends, I'll speak to 10 of my friends. So out of that, they came up with 19 families. And the 19 families organized their money, and they bought the 97 acres of land. Now, within that 97 acres of land, each of those 19 families, they have at least 2 acres of land each. All right. And then, you know, they're setting aside land for other development, farming, food, and all that other stuff. But they'll be on here tomorrow morning, starting at 9:30 a.m. Have your pen and paper out, or whatever notes you need to take. You can call in and ask them questions directly. Okay, that's tomorrow morning. Don't be late for this one. We've done over 2,100 podcasts in the last 8 years. This is the one that you need to participate in.
I was talking to a cat the other night. He said, well, everybody's looking for today. They're looking for escapism. Talking too loud.
Hush that butt. I ain't got no dust.
I don't have to take it on the land.
Watch that man.
Huh?
Watch that man.
Watch them. Yeah, all right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Coming from some funny places. What'd you say, bro?
What's happening? Brown.
Trying to get down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, look at him. We can't have that.
Right on. Yeah.
Ain't no alcohol. Man, I don't dig it. What you say, J-Ton?
Hey, don't be so mean.
You know I'm clean now.
And on the seat.
Excuse me, Cap, while I rap.
Okay, we're running a little slow here this morning, but in any event, tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m., be here for, what's tomorrow? We'll be interviewing the representatives from the Freedom Georgia Initiative. And the title of the podcast is Promised Land 2.0. If you got any trending topics, anything that you guys want to talk about, 619-768-2945, that's the number to call right now if you want to.
So when people try to figure out how to make $1 million, they have no idea how daunting that is, because if you know how to make $1 million, you're going to make it tomorrow. But since you can't figure out how to make $1 million, you go somewhere and sit down. That's the wrong approach. If you apply your gift, your God-given gift that he gave you, you have millions already at your disposal. If you break it down inch by inch into things and cents, for the 10 by 10 theory, which is very simple. You don't need $1 million idea. You need a $10 idea. You need something that you do, your gift that God gave you, to make $10. That's all you got to be able to know. I don't care if it's cutting hair, cutting somebody's grass, washing somebody's car. I don't care if it's mowing somebody's lawn. I don't care if it's driving people to their destinations. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's baking cookies or pie. You have some braiding somebody's hair. You have something that you can do so well that someone will give you $10 for it. Write my paper for me. Do this for me. Somebody give you $10 for it. Once they give you $10, all you got to do is whatever you did to get that 10, do it 10 more times. You now, my friend, have $100. You have $100 simply because you took a $10 idea and you did it 10 times. Well, guess what? If you take that $100 that you made since you've done it 10 times and you do it 10 more times, I got news for you, my friend. You now have $1,000. $1,000, you make $1,000. Guess what all you got to do? You got to multiply that effort again. Do whatever you did to do $1,000, do it 10 more times. My friend, you now have $10,000. You got $10,000 now. Imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. Just imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. That's $120,000 a year. But I got news for you, my friend. Whatever you did, whatever it took to make yourself $10,000, all you got to do is do it 10 more times. 10 more times, my friend, you now have $100,000. I got news for you now. If you can make $100,000, you're just a step away from being a millionaire, man. Because now you hire a few more people to help you out, that you can do portions of what you do, so you can duplicate that effort. And one more time, just one more time, do it 10 times. Man, that sounds hard. It is hard. But what else you got to do? What, you going to stop at the 100,000? All you got to do is duplicate your efforts by 10. You duplicate your efforts by 10, 10 times 100,000. Welcome to the club, my friends. You are now a millionaire. Congratulations. You became a millionaire with a $10 idea. So stop trying to Stop bogging yourself down trying to figure out how to make a million. Do what you can do to make $10. And then do the 10 by 10 theory. Inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Now, here's the joyful part. Along the way, when you was down here making $20,000, but you did right here, and now all of a sudden you're making $30,000. Now you're making $100,000. But on the way to duplicating that times 10, you may stop along in here at $250,000. You can make it $250,000 a year. That's way better than that $20,000 you had when you started. So there's joy in the process. Your life is actually a lot richer at $250,000. It'll become even more richer at $500,000. It becomes even richer than that at $750,000, $750,000. If you don't get to the million, man, you're going to trip because you're making $900,000 a year? No, you're going to be happy. What, you don't make the million, so you're only making $700,000 a year? You can't find happiness in $7,000? Something wrong with you, man. There's joy in the process. That's how you make $1 million.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package gonna go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out. He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Thank you.
All right, tomorrow morning here on It's My House, not today, but tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 Central Standard Time, adjust for your local time zone wherever you are around the world, but based on 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we shall be interviewing representatives from the Freedom Georgia Initiative. Now, if you're not familiar with them, they have a YouTube channel, and the YouTube channel is Freedom Georgia, just Freedom Georgia. And last I checked, they had about maybe 5 videos on there. And you can go to their website, Freedom Georgia Initiative. Long story short, it was started by, I believe, 2 black women, maybe 3, but 2, I believe. Hopefully, one of the founders will be on here tomorrow morning. You can ask these people direct questions. Now, who might be the people interested in asking them questions? Well, they, long story short, they wanted to live in a community that didn't have the politics, the, you know, the shootings like a Trayvon Martin or a George Floyd, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So they ran across a piece of land in Georgia. I think it was, to be exact, I think it was 96.71 acres. We'll just round it up to 97 acres. So they just said, well, you know what, you talk to 10 of your friends, I'll talk to 10 of my friends. They did that, came up with 19 families. They purchased collectively, because you don't need a million people. They did more, these two ladies did more with these 19 families than what was done with the Million Man March, and there have been 2 Million Man Marches. 97 acres of land, and then they're up to the last count that I have. It might be more by now, but 502 acres of land. So their strategy basically is to learn the process. They're pioneers. And they learn the process of what it takes to organize assembly. They've taken proactively. They didn't wait on the government. They didn't wait on any government order or executive order or any kind of government program to give them 40 acres and a mule or 40 acres and a laptop in today's terms. They just went out, two people. It started with just 2 people. And 19 families, I don't know how many collective people that is, but it's not a whole lot. They didn't do any marching. They didn't do any protest. You know, any marching that they might have done was on their own land after they bought it. Okay. That's what they did. That's what counts. So they're going to be on here tomorrow morning at the times I stated, once again, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Adjust that to your local time zone wherever you are on the globe, and you can ask them questions directly. Freedom Georgia Initiative, like I say, they do have a website, and they do have a YouTube channel titled Freedom Georgia. So they'll be on tomorrow morning. So you can ask them questions directly at that time.
How'd it go?
We got 1 out of 2 of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
We'll be out, man. I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man. You know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right. Relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised at you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know?
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you gonna do?
I don't know. But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
Man in his time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today. He a man.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money. And war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
Say it. But they know every line. What makes us think then that they become such learning disabilities when they get to school?
But Charles Murray, author of The Bell Curve, says claims like Marva's begin to fade when hard questions are asked about her graduate's achievements. No hard evidence of success, he says.
I never had any idea that Murray was seeking hard evidence.
He never called.
He never called. He never wrote.
He never came here.
He never came here. The only time I knew that Murray knew A. Marva Collins was when I saw it in the book.
It's not so much what he said about me, because I do what I teach the children. I get even by succeeding and by having the children succeed.
We are living proof that her method works.
Yeah.
Has he ever been here?
No.
He
needs to take a
just wrote a book, huh?
So he's just going to have to come and see it.
Right,
come on down.
We're extending it.
Come on down. That's right. Come on down.
Then, as now, the emphasis is on clear and lucid communication. Beginning in kindergarten.
Quadrilateral means a figure having four sides and four angles.
These 4 and 5-year-olds are students at Westside Prep's second campus on Chicago's South Side. The principal gave us a tour.
Class, can you say good morning to Mr. Safer?
Good morning, Mr. Safer.
If the face looks familiar, it's another former student of Marva Collins, her son Patrick.
Tell me something,
Patrick.
You're the boss now. And the last time I saw you, you were...
About the pupil.
You were one of them. I noticed there's a sign up there, and it says, your I will is more important than your IQ.
We try to get the children to at least make an attempt. And if they fail, they fail, but at least they have attempted. I think the children get into the I can't, and so much so that they brainwash themselves into thinking that they can't.
Let's open our readers then to the British Isles. Before we get started, who can tell us what the British Isles are? Richard and the big boy, sweetie.
The British Isles are England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales.
Very good.
Another familiar face. The teacher is a former student of Marva's, her daughter Cynthia. Her pupils range in age from 4-year-olds like Malcolm to 8-year-olds.
And what is that famous church in England that we know where the kings and queens are crowned and buried? Helen?
Westminster Abbey.
Very, very good, okay? Who was the queen who knighted a certain man for doing something that was chivalrous? Let's hear from LaPortia here.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
Good. And what did he do for the queen?
He put down his cape for her to walk on.
Okay, very good.
When the queen was so pleased, she made Sir Walter Raleigh a knight.
Sean, who's 5, is Marva's grandson. Not surprising that he's an early reader. Many of these children come from middle-class backgrounds. For them, tuition is about $4,000 a year. The poor pay much less. For the poorest of the poor, Marva provides Wells Prep for free for residents of the Ida B. Wells Housing Project, home of Chicago's most lethal gang. Students are taken on a first-come, first-served basis. The methods are the same. No sports, no art, no recess, no nonsense, no self-pity. Plenty of Shakespeare.
I need an antagonist.
Tyball.
Tyball. Tyball did what?
Mercutio.
Mercutio. Romeo's what?
Friend.
Romeo was a what?
Montague.
And Juliet was a...
Tanisha, I haven't heard from you this morning.
What was the bit of rivalry between the Montagues and the Capulets?
Every time they see one another, they would start fighting.
Every time they saw one another, they what?
Start fighting.
What? Oh. Stop that bit of rivalry.
Funding for the Wells School comes from the Justice Department, a pilot project to see if education can beat drugs and crime.
Could you have got lost in the streets of the West Side?
Most definitely. Very easy.
A lot of my friends who didn't go to Marva Collins around high school is where they got caught up in things, where school just wasn't their focus in life, and they just went their ways, be it gangs or whatever else they did outside of basketball.
What I got out of West Side the year that I was there, it helped me to stay out of trouble. It helped me to at least get some sort of direction as to where I should be going is versus where I shouldn't be going.
As evidence, the testimony of Marva's graduates may not be hard enough for Mr. Murray. So we went a step further and asked Dr. Guy Stewart, a professional statistician here in Chicago, to compare the 33 former students with their peers. He told us, statistically, one should have been murdered, at least two in prison, and five on welfare. Marva's graduates are all alive, none are in prison, and none are on welfare. Of those not at the reunion, a number, like Brian Gurley, are still in college. Most of the rest are working. Michael Singleton is a Chicago police officer. Two others are corrections officers. Darius Daniels is the office manager of an insurance agency. Two others are salesmen. Michael Ridley is a buyer in the restaurant business. Talisa Felder graduated from Loyola and works for a large brokerage house in Chicago. This January, she enters Loyola Law School.
Where do you expect to be 10 years from now?
10 years from now. Judge.
A law professor, actually. I said that I wanted my master's by 25, and I'm going to have my master's by 25, and then I'm going to be sitting in law school.
I would plan to be working with the Nation of Islam as far as dealing with agriculture and agribusiness.
You're studying agriculture now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I am going to have my own line of clothes. Not, I hope to. I am going to have my own line of clothes.
Married with my family, working hard in my church, and I'm opening my school. It's going to be very similar to this one.
And Erica Pace, she wants to open a long-term homeless shelter. Erica, once described as retarded, graduated from college last May, summa cum laude.
Oh, I don't know what happened to that. It just dropped off. Okay, once again, we're going to, unless you guys have anything specific that you want to talk about, we're going to, like, knock off early today. But let me go to the phone lines real quick. 773, your mic is open.
Morning, sir. I missed you this morning.
Man, you know.
Yeah, we did.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for calling in. We can do our morning catching up right now because I got caught up in all the other phone calls and all that other stuff.
Yeah. So give me an update on the Marvin Collins, what you just read. What's the status of that program now?
Well, glad you asked. Marvin Collins' son, Patrick Collins, has been on here probably at least five or six times. I'm thinking six. We have about 12 hours of views with Patrick Collins, who was Marvin Collins' school. Marvin started out with, I think, five students, and two of her children, Patrick and his younger sister, they were the original students of Marvin Collins. So in that 60 Minutes piece, that was Patrick, who became headmaster of the school. They had more than one location. I think they probably had about two or three locations, but he was a headmaster of one of them. But we've had him on here at least five. I think he went on here six times over the last few years. He usually comes in at least once a year. We caught him now. We missed him the first year of the pandemic. We had him on earlier this year. But now, to answer your question, there was some lady from China that liked the Marva Collins methodology and everything. So she is spearheading, and I guess we got to bring Patrick on here to give us an update. The last I spoke to him, he announced it on this podcast that they're opening up a Marva Collins charter school in Nevada. So that's the last I've heard of it, and that was earlier this year. Because we probably spoke to Patrick around. No, but now he did say this, because I got him in my personal phone numbers. He did say if people are interested in reopening or starting something in Chicago, give him a call. He did say that.
That's good.
But I'm not big on charter schools, but I mean, I'm glad they're doing something with her name on it. But I will, matter of fact, I'll give them a call today. People that are interested in you know, Chicago, because the building, the original building of Westside Preparatory School was in the Patrick's parents owned a duplex. And, you know, the Collins family lived on one side, and they were renting out the other side. But then when that tenant moved out, they converted that, the side of the, you know, the other apartment into a school. And that's that's what helped get her on the radar. So that building, I think his brother still lives in that building, so that building is still in the Collins family. Marva had retired down to South Carolina, and I missed her probably, I think when I started It's My House, I think she was still alive, but I didn't think about, I missed her by about a year. But then, anyway, I got in touch with him. So we've done about 6 interviews with him, but I will call him today. And I'll let him answer that, you know, well, but people speak to him directly, but he did say people that are interested in doing anything in Chicago, give him a call. So, all right, so that's the latest on that.
And I'm glad we did hook up. Yeah, okay, all
right. And now, we got some listeners here that know Pleasant Stephens, so any updates on for Pleasant?
Yeah, he's better. He's getting up. In fact, I saw him earlier today. He's more independent as far as his movement and things, and so he has more days of consistent positive activity than he has time when he'll just get tired and just not be able to do anything that day. So he is definitely on a upward pattern of independence on a daily basis. That's good news, yeah. So he's
okay.
Better, definitely so. Mm-hmm.
Now, share with the people out that haven't heard you before, Fan Passion, and what's that about, and how can we hear it here on Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, we're on blogtalkradio.com. /Delmar America, and we're just excited moving on with the Family Passion Showtime Reunion, NAP 365, and what we're doing. We are doing a revival on the meaning and value of family relationships and restoring the family to its position in society. We believe that the family is the most important unit in our society. In fact, it's the first government. That's where we first learn the respect for authority. And ancient cultures saw this as such that if children didn't obey or get through it, there was no juvenile delinquency in society because they just take those kids out. You just couldn't grow up and disrespect parents. And, I mean, I came through an era down south. It was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or else. And we didn't have the problem. We get to where there is no respect for authority. Kids are told to do what they want to do, and everybody's on that. That's bad. So then we also have a campaign to create a nation's anthem prayer and to be prayed 365 in America and throughout the nations, and we're pushing forward on that. And again, we are on blogtalkradio.com/Delmar America, and we have several on-demand podcasts. If you go there, you will find those recorded there for you. Just did a great one this morning on the prayer, and we got excited about our own excitement. So we just thank you
for okay.
moving forward on that. Thank you for getting up.
Now, well, if people want to catch you, because you switch sounds from PM to AM, what time of day are you on Blog Talk?
Let me tell you what's going on right now. I'm in a wave of transition, and it's been coming like the ocean wave. It goes up and goes down. So I have not established a fixed morning yet. There's a real challenge going on, but I do get it in every day so that someone can listen to it on a, you know, recorded basis. But right now I am really struggling with establishing a consistent morning. That is really a challenge. It really is. So
okay.
I'm fighting between 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, sometimes it just goes. So So get one out right now. You probably wouldn't miss it because I'm just not that consistent about the actual live.
But they can listen to it. Well, most people listen to these podcasts on demand based on their schedule where we are in the world. So.
Yeah,
just go to Blog Talk and look for Fan Passion, and you'll find, because you're up to how many now?
I'm in the 20s now, in the 20s.
Right.
We had a,
that's over 20,
of,
yeah, over 20 podcasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good start. And it doesn't take that long. You start with one, and then before you know it, you know, you got 20 plus. You'll be hitting the 50 mark soon.
We're on a roll as far as consistent. Yeah, right. Yeah, we're gonna get there. And thanks to you for turning us on to that. Didn't know anything about Blog Talk, about talk radio, until I met a man named L.A. from down Florida way. So L.A. from Florida way. Hey, I got that. I like that, man. L.A. from Florida way. We all use that. L.A. from Florida way.
All right.
Okay. So
tomorrow morning, speaking about Fan Passion, tomorrow morning, as I announced earlier, we're going to have representatives from the Freedom Georgia Initiative, and they started off with a vision, just two people. Then that turned into, 19 families, and then the 19 families purchased 97 acres, and now they could be over 502. But they're up to at least 502 at my last count. So they'll be on here tomorrow. But all that started with two best friends, and then I guess the 10 people that they talked to, it turned into 19 families. So
that's powerful.
Like you said, family is the first form of government, which it is. And
that's right.
Right, so they didn't do no marching or protesting. They didn't wait on the government or nothing like that. They did what they can do, and so that they'll be on here tomorrow morning, and we're going to do the Claude Anderson piece, which is about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we're going to go straight into our interview with them. So anybody listening, they're not the only ones doing this. They're probably. They've come across my radar. I know some other groups, but they're probably number one as far as achievement right now. But I see what they're doing as a trend. But you know what? Now, when you're up, because you're up in Illinois right now, that's what you and Pleasant were doing until he had to go to the hospital. You guys were looking for sites as well.
Right. And again, there are opportunities even in the Chicago area, not in the city, but so there are opportunities definitely. So yes.
Right. So.
And I think more so in the South. I think the South probably has more opportunities. In fact, I looked at the price of land in the South. In fact, Mississippi has the least price for an acre of land. Mississippi, Georgia, those states have you can get an acre of land for the smallest amount of price on the market right now. And
now, what's the ballpark figure that you've been running across?
$1,200.
Per acre?
$1,200 was the most common figure. Yeah, right, for 1 acre, right.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's a pretty good price. Yeah, pretty good price
for 1 acre. What, some of the people out there, the lady, I forgot her name, I saw one of you yesterday, who are actually giving some tips on what to do with it, So there's some good information out there right now.
The same woman that was talking about farming?
Yeah, right. She has I'm not sure how old are you. I watched another video, just kind of stumbled across it. But, she's still out there giving advice and helping people to start. And, again, she's giving some smart advice about, what not to do and avoid some of the pitfalls and stuff, And one more thing, so we're in L.A., I came across another video with this very, very, very wealthy, successful businessman who's, did all kind of things, all kind of money. He says that America is heading toward a blackout and people need to be ready. It's going to happen somewhere. The grid is going to go bang up and it's going to be dark for a lot of folks, and
And it just makes sense. Now, he didn't recommend that type of action, but the point is if you own the grid and you depend upon it, you're in for a dark day at some point that might be a lot more expensive than you want to be. So heads up on that.
Well,
I think this trend is...
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of the questions I'm going to ask tomorrow. Do they plan on, you know, putting together an electrical grid, particularly a solar electrical grid, which will be independent of any, you know, traditional stuff that they have, you know, now. So, all right. Well, thank you, Delmar, for calling in, man, because, I just got so caught up in other calls this morning. Start this podcast.
I was busy, too.
Okay.
All right.
I'm cutting it short today because tomorrow, I'm getting ready for tomorrow. So on that note,
okay.
Thanks, Delmar. Right. Thanks, everybody else, for calling in or listening in. And everyone have a good rest of the day. See you tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 Central.
God bless.